Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
It is hard to comprehend. I don't even have, quite
I'm
frankly.
I'm the one that took him home, not them, okay? I took him home because...
Well, it's certainly no disrespect to anyone that's vegan or vegetarian. I, as you know, am the most judgment-free human.
Ball tapping.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here we got something called Truth is our bitch. Also, we are on our website at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video or audio. Unfortunately, we've lost our internet. We've lost Time Warner's connection, our internet service provider where we send our live streaming video to. Is down. So if you have a frozen picture, that's why. And I apologize, guys. We rarely have that problem. We rarely have that problem visited on you. But behind the scenes, we got more problems with Time Warner than I can even begin to think about. And I'll tell you something, Time Warner, if you think that I can't go and get DirecTV and have them doing exactly the same thing that you don't do very well, think again, man. I suggest that you guys not work 9 to 5 around there. I suggest another thing for you, Time Warner. Get an office that doesn't look like I'm walking into the waiting room in a hospital with a bunch of sourpusses sitting there as if they're doing me a favor. Do that. In other words, class your operation up a little bit, okay? You're beginning to look, honest to God, you look like the DMV. You got a bunch of sourpuss people. You might as well be taking a number. You feel like you're waiting in line to get a proctology exam instead of, you know, TV service. If you don't like your jobs, try something else. I know. Why don't you guys go to work in a hospital, send some of those people over to your office? Maybe that's all we need. God. Tell them. 877-876-PHIL. So I apologize for the video going down shortly here this evening. We're waiting for it to come back up. All right. Will I Am, this is another story, you guys, and Bud is going to have his nightly news for us later on, maybe.
What do you mean, like 2 nights you put it off?
Well, maybe we'll put it off a third night, we'll find out. Will I Am is an artist most recently in the news, I think, because he basically told, he told Perez Hilton where to stick it, and Perez said, "That sounds good. Would you mind doing it for me?" And that's when... Anyway, they got into a pushing match, or a shoving match, last summer in a hotel in Toronto. I'll never forget it because Perez Hilton was on Twitter saying, "Would someone please call the Toronto police for me?" And it was immediately picked up on Twitter. Everyone said, well, obviously he's not hurt and he's just looking for publicity because why would you go on Twitter to ask someone to call 911 for you? So it was a little silly. But in any event... Will I Am is the frontman for the band The Black Eyed Peas, and he's well known for his outrageous costumes. And, of course, why would he be known for his outrageous costumes? Is it possible that he's an entertainer? Well, shut my mouth. That's exactly what he does. He's an entertainer. So, naturally, he'd have some weird-ass stuff that he wears. However, the rapper's get-up during Sunday night's MTV Video Music Awards wasn't met with a warm welcome this time around. The singer, who performed during the VMA pre-show alongside singer Nicki Minaj, outraged many fans when he appeared in blackface. What fans did he outrage? I want to know specifically. When you people say that he outraged many fans, you're going to have to show me the fans, because most of the time when they say that a guy outraged many fans, it's like... that reporter was outraged, and some other jackass he was drinking with at the bar, and that's it. In addition to donning black face paint, Will.i.am also wore an all-black leather ensemble, complete with matching shiny hairpiece. Following his performance, the Twitterverse ran amok, slamming the 35-year-old rapper and comparing his look to 19th-century minstrel shows in which white actors performed in theatrical black makeup, which propagated racist stereotypes toward African Americans, except this time it's a black guy doing it, and that's kind of funny, and don't you get it? Or are all of you people even lamer than we already know you to be? First, just because I wear, this is Will.i.am tweeting, by the way, wear, W-H-E-R-E. Oh, man.
What's wrong with that?
He misspelled it.
Misspelled it.
First, just because I wear all black, including head mask, as expression and emphasize my outfit, it shouldn't be looked at as racial, Will I Am tweeted. Let go of the past. There are far more important things to bark about. Jobs, health, education, not a black man wearing all black everything. 2 hours later, I agree with him, but I just don't like the way he spelled where, W-H-E-R-E. Don't he know it's W-E-R-E? 2 hours later, as criticism continued to flood his account, the singer asked, are all you white people... No, he didn't. He said, are you guys serious? My outfit set black people back 100 years? Choose your twits wisely. No education sets people back. No jobs. Bad health. Dumb Twitterers. I got to agree with Will on this one. Get a life. Get a job. You know, read a book. Dumbest human beings on earth. One of the great things about social networking and the social media sites and whatever the hell you want to call them, the social venereal disease sites is what I call them. God, do I feel good when I get off of them. But anyway.
What do you mean? Because everybody's so dumb?
A lot of times, yeah. I mean, I go on there. Every time I'm feeling suicidal, I just go to Twitter, read a few tweets, and feel fantastic.
Yeah, it's like taking an upper.
The whatever. Yep, all I got to do is go over there to Twitter, man, and feel good. All right, so that was that. And meanwhile, we do have the winners in the Video Music Awards, and I'm just going to very quickly go through them and then get it out of my life once and for all. Lady Gaga swept the MTV Video Music Awards. By swept, we mean, well, most of the, in other words, the important ones. She won 8 awards in last night's MTV Video Music Awards, which netted a big 11.4 million viewers, and that's pretty good for cable. According to the network, the two-hour awards show was the most watched program on MTV since 2002. And what show was on in 2002? The MTV Music Video Awards. Anyway, the outrageous singer picked up the biggest prize of the night, Video of the Year, wearing an outfit sure to anger the PETA crowd, a dress and a chapeau that appeared to be made of cuts of meat. Another large-delight diva from another generation presented Gaga with her trophy, Cher. By the way, Cher was wearing an outfit that was out of here, man. Did you see that?
Yeah, man, I don't know what was so weird about that. I thought she looked good.
Yeah, me too.
I thought she looked good too, but, you know, you're not allowed to do anything, man, if you're past 60, I guess. She looked pretty good. Cher is going to wear weird stuff. I mean, what is it with people? Lady Gaga wore cuts of meat. Will.i.am was in blackface. Are you people out of your minds? That's what those cats do for a living. They're entertainers, they're weird asses, they're performers, they're supposed to look weird. They take our minds off of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Be upset about life. I want to see somebody wearing cuts of meat.
Yeah.
What?
If you're going to be upset about life, I want to see someone wearing cuts of meat.
Well, you want to have somebody take your mind off your problem and everything. They better get out there with some meat, you know, like a meat dress or something.
Yeah, do like a meat jock strap or something. Will I Am should have had a meat jock strap.
Yeah, well, they got to, in other words, they got to be entertainers.
Yeah, they got to entertain me. And I say, Will I Am. And Lady Gaga, they did the job, man, and Cher did too, and everybody else, it was no good, man, no good at all.
Yeah, you like Bono, he always looks just like a drunk.
Bud, come on, Bono looks like a drunk?
Pretty much, man.
Get out of here, no he doesn't, he always looks good. Bono, I admire him, I like him a lot.
Yeah, you just think he's great because he's Irish and everything.
Maybe I do. I like their music, too. But I know what you mean. I mean, if you're going to be an entertainer, you better get out there and entertain, man. So why work hard? Just dress in all black or put on meat slacks or whatever the hell it was.
You could have a meat slack with a meat dress.
I know. I'm just saying.
If you're a guy, you put a meat slack.
Yes, if you're a guy, you would wear meat slacks.
No, it's a meat slack.
Meat slacks, bud.
What do you mean?
No, I know meat slacks, but what if you just wore a meat slack?
What do you mean if I wore a meat slack?
Like one pant leg?
Yeah, if you wore one pant leg out of meat.
So that's what you think a slack is?
Yeah, well, why do they call it slacks?
Okay, so, and then next hour, Bud will be with us to talk about why are there only, what is it, 7 hot dogs in the pack?
No, that's a good question. You know it's a good question why it's a slack.
I don't care, Bud, if it's a slack.
But if you're going to be...
Will you quit bugging me, man?
What do you mean by slack?
Why do they call it slacks?
Hey, look, man. You know, that to me is one of those lame questions I don't want to deal with.
I know, and I don't blame you, but I'm saying, I'm only saying on account of the meat slack.
Bud, there's no meat slack, man. You came up with meat slack, and then you're all, hey, why do they call it slack? I'm doing the show. Do you understand? Me, I'm doing the show.
Yeah, you're the host.
I know. Don't take the topic and turn it around to something else. I'll do that.
God.
Well, no, you know what, man? If you don't want to be yelled at, then don't say dumbass stuff like, well, meat slack. And why do they call it a slack? I'm Bud Dickman, and tonight's meat slack topic.
That just thought it'd be interesting.
Oh, well, I'm really sorry that what we're rapping about, man, is not interesting. So, do you want to leave?
No.
Anyway, Gaga's eight wins ties the aha. The aha. Who wrote this?
Don't say that. You read that.
You're right. Gaga's eight wins ties with Aha's Take on Me in 1986 for the second highest number of wins in one night. Are you kidding me? Peter Gabriel previously won 10 for Sledgehammer in 1987, which is the record of the award show. Now get a load of that, man. Does that tell you anything? Of course, these are video awards, right? A list of winners at Sunday nights. If I remember Aha's Take on Me, it's all like a...
like a drawing or something.
It's like a sketchboard, right?
Yeah, the guy comes out of a sketch, and the girl's all, ooh, I was drawing you in your reel.
What was Sledgehammer?
I don't know.
I don't remember it either. Do you?
I don't remember what, Peter Gabriel?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
A list of winners at Sunday night's 2010 MTV Video Music Award collaboration, Lady Gaga featuring Beyonce Telephone, female video, Lady Gaga Bad Romance. That's pretty good, man. I like that. I mean, it was very good. Male video, Eminem Not Afraid. Hip hop video, Eminem Not Afraid. New artist, Justin Bieber featuring Ludacris, Baby. Pop video, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance. Rock video, 30 Seconds to Mars, Kings and Queens. Dance music video, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance. Art direction, Florence and the Machine, Dog Days Are Over. What I'm getting from all of this, by the way, and not to interrupt, but it ain't the song, man, it's the video, see?
Well, yeah, it gotta be, man, a video music award, you know.
Because Aha, Take on Me.
Well, that was still a very groundbreaking song, don't you think?
Groundbreaking?
What's groundbreaking about it?
The way the guy goes, take on me. Or, I mean, I'm not doing it good.
Oh, you really? Yeah, no.
Well, you know what? He goes, I'll be gone. Remember he did that?
But, yeah, I remember when he did something like that, but it wasn't the way he...
Yeah, man, you were way off on that.
But do you remember how he done it?
Yeah, I do, man. Are you saying that's some kind of a heavy-ass musical device? Like, wow.
Well, nobody else had done it in the music time, at that time.
What was so different about that, man?
It's just bitchy. He goes, I'll be gone.
Shut up, man. God.
Man, I'm bleeding from my ear and everything, man. I can't hear nothing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make a point.
You made your point. God. Okay, editing, Lady Gaga. Special effects, Lady Gaga. Paying off the staff of the Video Music Awards, Lady Gaga. Slipping $100 bills into the pockets of the valets, Lady Gaga. Sending a suitcase full of millions of dollars to the heads of the MTV networks, Lady Gaga. Okay? And also sending a suitcase full of money to the Meat Butchers of America, Lady Gaga and Frank Perdue. All right, we'll be back, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Look at this, man, problem loading page. Ah, we got our service back. We got our video back. Are we back online? Well, we'll see. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This part.
I'll be gone. I know, bud.
Oh, man, no, shut up.
Shut up, will you, man?
There you go. Oh, God.
No, bud, this band's as gay as you, man.
Shut up, man. I don't just say I like it.
Yeah, well, you've been talking enough about it. Making me crazy with this crap.
Right here, this is a good part.
turn that off before I flip.
That song's good, and Sledgehammer's bitching too.
Sledgehammer? Let me tell you something about Sledgehammer, okay? You know, I was a disc jockey for 17 years. You guys know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
And of all the songs, and I liked Peter Gabriel, and I liked...
What did you like about him?
I liked it when he was with Genesis, you know, and he did that climbing up on Salisbury Hill, all that bullcrap that he did, you know. The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, that stuff. And I even thought that album was pretty good, but that song, Sledgehammer...
What song you hate on account of you had to play them all the time?
Songs that I hated because I played all the time?
Yeah.
Sledgehammer.
Well...
I hated everything, man. I got to hate Stairway to Heaven because I had to play it all the time. I hated the hell out of Stairway to Heaven. Doom, 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 doom. You know, and...
What else?
What is it with you, man?
Well, no, so you hate Stairway to Heaven. That's like the number one song that of all time and everything.
I know. That's the number one rock and roll song probably of all time. I hated it after a while because we had to play it all the time. The other one I started to hate was Layla. God. And
I don't know that one.
It's you don't want to know that one. I started to hate everything that Creedence Clearwater Revival did because we played the hell out of those cuts, man. We played that. Oh man.
Like what, man? You know the one I'm thinking about? A doot 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 on my back door.
What do you mean your back door?
No, I know the song. Doo, doo, doo. Oh, God.
Yeah, that drove me out of my mind.
What are you talking about your back door, gay?
I'm talking about a song, you dumbass.
It's a song, okay?
Yeah, what, about your back door?
No, it's about your back door.
Gay.
Hey, bud, I ain't the guy sitting here going, take me on.
That, first of all, I didn't sing it like that, and I'm just doing it to show you.
Hey, man, I get it already, okay? What the hell is this? Turn that off. All right. So that's the MTV Music Video Awards. I hope you enjoyed them. Buds, you know what you need? We need to do the nightly news. We'll do that when we come back from our next break, okay?
Yeah, I'm getting it all ready and everything, and it's a very interesting stories tonight.
Oh, well, thank you so very much, Mr. Anchorman.
Here he is.
All right. So we already told you about Will.i.am. Now, guess who else is in the news? This pain in the ass with that mosque. The imam behind the controversial plan to build an Islamic center and mosque near New York's Ground Zero site has said he's exploring all options and everything's on the table in the face of a firestorm of protest against the project. In a speech to the Council on Foreign Relations in New York today and in an interview yesterday on ABC's News, Faisal Abdul Rauf Yomama expressed frustration that radical extremists have hijacked our discourse and wanted that moving the mosque could prompt a violent backlash from some Muslims abroad. Warned that moving the mosque could prompt a violent backlash from some Muslims abroad. Radical extremists have hijacked our discourse. Now, see, that doesn't mean anything. Radical extremists. You mean people who disagree with you? I don't know. Ralph said the Islamic Center's advisors had been looking at every option, including delaying construction. The imam has also suggested that the center could expand to provide space for people of other faiths alongside Muslims. See, what he's not understanding, and this blows my mind considering recent history with some, not all, but some Muslims, and that is the following. When you do something or say something or act in a certain way, in a certain insensitive way, that could anger Muslim people, they are very expressive with their hurt. Okay. Now, why is he so shocked when somebody's hurt about something he's doing?
Yeah, I don't understand that either, man.
In other words, he ought to be very familiar with the whole world of hurt feelings because, good God... And I'm not criticizing. I mean, I'm learning. I'm educating myself. If there are things that I do or a certain way that I speak, I don't, you know, I'm here in this. Would you turn that off, bud, before I flip?
Yeah, but Take on Me is going to be next.
Turn it off, Take on Me. I don't care.
That sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, man, why don't you go back and think about that and, you know, get your news together and think about how dirty it sounds to say Take on Me.
Okay.
Wow. You know what, man? Now I don't even have time to talk about this because of you with that music.
Well, nobody wants to hear about that stupid mosque anyway.
Maybe I want to talk about it. All right, we'll come back and we will do mosque talk, because there's just a couple of things to talk about. Bud's Nightly News next. Oh, you think you got some really cool stuff here? Harley Union OK Stark contract. Well, that's really sexy. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'll be gone.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
From around the world and around the nation, and our studios at the El Pacifico in California, it's Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Good evening. Bud Dickman on the news. And a Wisconsin Harley Union is going to have a contract and everything that they're going to have. The people that make them, and the, or I mean, you know, the people that make the motorcycle, they are going to have a contract. And there's a gay, and now in Saudi Arabia, there's a gay there. Then in France, their sex is lame in France.
Bud Dickman's Nightly News continues.
And a Koran they burned it at a, or no, they burned a Christian school down. Or they burned a Koran, then they burned down a Christian school. Then there's in other news tonight, these poor men, they're from Chile, and it's, they don't like being.
Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Harvard is where, that's the Ivy League. And then there's only 9 months after Haiti.
What?
I don't. In other news, there's a gay. Obama, he's gonna make missiles and sell them to Arabs and anybody that he wants to.
More Bud Dickman news.
Did you hear about Chat Roulette? They got a tape with a guy on Chat Roulette and his pants, and he pulled his pants down right when the Chat Roulette was. That's what it says anyway. I don't know if it's true.
Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Like in Haiti where they had a bomb or something or it was an earthquake. They haven't cleaned anything. Nothing's cleaned up. And then a final news story of the night, a plane crashed in Vizula or something. It's like that horn that you blow in soccer. There, a plane crashed in Vuluzu or Vivulu or something.
Venezuela.
What?
Venezuela.
In Venezuela.
This has been Bud Dickman's Nightly News.
Good night, everybody.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that went much better.
Yeah, it went great.
What are you laughing about?
No, it was great. It was great. All right, so that's groovy. All right, so Bud's Nightly News, and I'm glad to know, dude, that that plane that crashed in Vuvuzela.
Well, I didn't know what it was.
Well, it ain't the horn that they blew at the soccer tournament. It's the country. Vuvu, or I don't know what the name of it is.
Venezuela.
Oh, yeah, Venezuela, but I don't know what the name of that horn is. Anyway, the New York Imam. Oh, by the way, if you're having a hard time getting our feed this evening via the internet, the server has gone down, ladies and gentlemen. I certainly do apologize for that. It is a very rare occurrence, but it happens. And we're theorizing that Time Warner, not mindful of the fact that they do have commercial users as well as just private users, decide that at midnight on the West Coast, they'll just start doing their maintenance or whatever it is, probably eating a sandwich while they just pull plugs, and they pull the plug on us. So we do apologize, but we will put up our on-demand video tomorrow regardless. We'll have 2 hours of it instead of three due to this technical faux pas. The New York imam, Faisal Abdul Rauf, says, sounds a lot like someone throwing up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And why not, folks, when this guy opens his yak? A whole lot of people do. Now, I don't have anything against this man. Everything's fine. I'm not even going to comment. I'm just going to give you this news. In a speech to the Council on Foreign Relations in New York, Faisal Abdul Rauf expressed frustration that radical extremists have hijacked our discourse and warned that moving the mosque could prompt a violent backlash from some Muslims abroad. Rauf said the Islamic Center's advisors have been looking at every option, including delaying construction. The imam has also suggested that the center could expand to provide space for people of other faiths alongside Muslims. Everything's on the table, he said. We really are focused on solving it. I give you my pledge. That's very nice, sir. Here is Mr. Rauf Faisal Abdul moving the mosque. This is part of his series of comments explaining in an interview on ABC News why he's not a fan of moving the Ground Zero Mosque.
My major concern with moving it is that the headline in the Muslim world will be Islam is under attack in America. This will strengthen the radicals in the Muslim world, help their recruitment. This will put our people, our soldiers, our troops, our embassies, our citizens under attack in the Muslim world.
Oh, boy.
And we have expanded and given and fueled terrorism.
This is a guy that I can't believe this. Does it ever occur to you, Rauf, that by putting the mosque there, you're going to be inflaming and pissing off people here? Does that ever enter your mind? And here's a guy talking about our troops. I thought 9/11 was made in America. Remember? Mr. Rauf, in his question and answer session after a speech for the Council on Foreign Relations, takes issue with some calling the area where he's building his mosque hallowed ground.
First of all, it is absolutely disingenuous, as many have said, that block is hallowed ground, with a strip joint around the corner, with betting parlors. To claim that it's hallowed ground, it's hallowed ground in one sense, but, you know, it doesn't add.
Well, they didn't put those up after 9/11, did they? They were there, man. And finally, Imam Rauf tells the audience he's still deciding how to address the controversy in the mosque location, but make sure you don't piss off people that are thousands of miles away, whatever you do.
We are exploring all options as we speak right now. We are working through what will be a solution, God willing, that will resolve this crisis, diffuse it, and not create any of the unforeseen or untoward circumstances that we do not want to see happen.
So that is Imam Rauf. I said the Islamic Center's advisors, as I said, are looking at every option. Asked why, when more than two-thirds of New Yorkers say they want the Islamic Center built somewhere else, he would not do that, Rauf said. Yeah, well, you heard what he said. He doesn't care about New Yorkers. He cares about guys that are halfway around the world. He cares about radicalizing people so they hate more. He doesn't care about radicalizing Americans so they hate more. Why? Because we're Americans. We're not supposed to hate. We're all grown up. We're adults. And the Muslims over there, they're children. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying they're a bunch of nervous children, and we're the adults, so we should behave like adults, and they can be children, and let's not piss them off. Do you understand? Some of these people don't even listen to themselves. They talk about racism, and they talk about xenophobia, and they talk about chauvinism. They don't even listen to the things they say. My concern is not to radicalize and further piss off a bunch of people living in caves. That's, oh, God, please don't let that happen. All right, great. So you'll piss off a lot of people that live like three blocks away. That's perfectly fine. We're okay with that because, after all, they're Americans, and we know that they'll behave fine. See, on the one hand, you think they're giving you a compliment. And they think that you think they're giving you a compliment. Oh, well, you're Americans. Naturally, you know how to protest. But what they do is they take advantage of our good nature and our good graces and our good intentions to crap all over us. That's what they wind up doing. Well, we know that you guys are the sweetest thing that God could ever put on the planet Earth, so why don't we go ahead and just squat over you? Because, after all, we got to use something, man, and everybody, all the bushes are taken. That's right, we're America. Go ahead, come on over, man. You don't even need toilet paper. I'm telling you, that's what it's become. And it only ends if we start saying to a few people, you know, no. Now, I put this thing on Facebook today because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm a Facebook kind of a guy. Not that anybody at Facebook understands what it was I put up. I don't have it right now, but there was a writer, and I don't know where it originally appeared, but I linked it. Oh, I know. It was a CNN. And it was an article by a young writer who said, who said first, let's not make this a war on Islam? Who was the first person to speak those words? President Bush. Right after 9/11, the president gave a speech. He quotes it, chapter and verse. And President Bush is saying in that speech, basically, everything that everybody's saying right now, let's not make it a war against Islam, let's make sure that there's this and that there's that, there's that. So now they're using, now all of a sudden, oh, Bush is the great white father, see? And they're right. They're absolutely right. And Bush was right. It's not a war on Islam. We're not making it a war on Islam. We don't want a war on Islam. As a matter of fact, we're not saying don't build your mosque. We're asking for the same consideration, just a little bit of the same consideration that Muslims ask for themselves, it seems, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, whether they live here or whether they don't, whether they're citizens here or whether they're not. Oh, the writer, thanks. What does that say, bud?
Yeah, Julian Zelizer. I'm the one that got it.
No, you didn't. Jason got it.
Well, I told him where to find it.
He's a history professor at Princeton. His name is Julian Zelizer. And you can see this article, I think, on CNN. And it's very, very good. And he is quoting, he said, who was the first one to say, let's not go to war against them? Now, you know, because it's Bush, nobody's going to give him any credit. They'll say he's an idiot. They'll somehow find a way to insult the man. But the fact is, President Bush did say it. So there's nothing. And we've linked the article on Twitter, if you want to go look at it. It's over at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. And also, if you want to check out my Twitter page, it's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, but I won't have that on there. I just thought I'd mention that because, you know.
Yeah, you want to get some love.
Yeah, I want to get a little bit of love. All right, we'll be back here, 877-876-PHIL. A man uses a BB gun to force his son to exercise, and parents across the country are applauding. I'm just kidding. No, they're not. But we'll read that story. We come back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We did Bud's Nightly News.
Oh.
Wow.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, every night is an adventure on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, not only while we're doing the show, but behind the scenes. Tonight, we've lost our connection to our video feed, and I apologize for that. And we will, I'm sure, from our headquarters back up the coast to here, to everywhere that the Phil Hendry Show is served, we will find out what happened and kick some asses. But right now we do have a server problem with our video. So if you were trying to watch it online, I apologize. And it just so happened to be the night that I was telling everybody that if you get Flash 10.1, you download it to your Android phone or your Evo, you have got live streaming video on your phone, on your mobile device. Hold on, I have to clear my throat and cough.
Why'd you tell people that?
Because if they heard a bunch of dead air, they'd know what I was doing. All right. Stepdad accused of using BB gun to force teenager to exercise, claims BB gun was for motivation. A stepdad whose picture appears in this story, and it appears that he has a farmer's tan on his face. That is, his forehead is pure white, pure bleach white, and from just above his eyes down to the, well, all the way down to his neck, he's beet red. Yeah, he looks like a real dumbass, this guy. A Leesburg stepfather was so upset with his stepson's performance during a football game, he pulled out a BB gun and he forced the 13-year-old to do sprints in the front yard, according to deputies. Robert Barker was arrested on Saturday on child abuse and aggravated assault with a weapons charge. The teen had a concussion 3 weeks ago, and at the game on Saturday, he was dizzy. The coach sent the boy home, but instead of resting, his stepfather made him do sprints in the front yard while firing a BB gun at the teen. The kid had a concussion 3 weeks ago. I don't know. Maybe I don't have the whole story. This is what I'm learning more and more. Because we can sit here and say, well, you know, this is a crazy thing. But how do I know? How do I know that WFTV television in Orlando is reporting this thing the way it should be reported, or they're just reporting the juicy stuff so everyone can say, ooh, and we'll go over to Channel 9 and read more about it because it's just so goofy. Deputies said the heat index, I know why, because the cops arrested him. Deputies said the heat index on Saturday was 107 degrees, so the kid had a concussion, the coach sends him home, this fat jackball with the farmer's tan on his face takes out a BB gun, and while he is gnawing on a pork chop, fires it at his kid as the boy is doing wind sprints. And on top of everything else, is he the father? No, he's a stepfather. All right.
Really give him a good name.
You know, so, yeah, I'm going to tell you something, pal. Guys like you, it's bad enough and tough enough being... I'm not saying it's bad. I shouldn't say that. It's tough enough being a step-parent. It's a difficult and it's a thankless job, and that's fine. If you're a step-parent, then you better get with the program. You better understand something if you're a step-parent. It's a thankless job, and I don't mean that to say I'm complaining. It is. It is. You're there to assist the mother or the father. That's number one. Number two, they have a father or they have a mother, unless, of course, they are deceased, in which case you have to work your way into the picture very, very gently and with guidance from the other parent. You don't come busting on in there, fat boy, with your BB gun, gnawing on a chicken leg, your gut hanging out, wearing your JCPenney t-shirt that she shrunk, but you don't care, and your farmer tan kisser, and the kid's got a concussion. What seems to be your major malfunction, you dumb redneck? Baker admitted he was upset on Saturday when his 13-year-old stepson had to leave his football game and admitted he made him do sprints. I took him home because he said his sides were hurting, Barker told WFTV television. His sides were hurting because he said it was from running, okay? So why did you make him run more, WFTV reporter Kathy Belich said. Because he's out of shape. He can't play football and not be in shape. Actually, we have the audio. Listen to this. Here is the reporter, Robert Barker. He's defending his actions to WFTV TV reporter Kathy Belich.
I'm the one that took him home, not them, okay? I took him home because he said his sides were hurting. His sides were hurting because he said it was from running, okay?
So why did you make him run more?
Because he's out of shape. You can't play football and not be in shape. He wants to play football.
No, you want him to play football. He had a concussion, fat ass. Barker explains the use of the weapon and says all coaches act the way he does. Oh, okay.
Yes, there was a BB gun. I never threatened to shoot him. I never threatened him in any way, shape, or form. I was arrested for making my kid run sprints. Now, if you're going to arrest me, you go arrest every coach in America, because I did not do nothing that every coach in America, every NFL coach does.
Every NFL coach that you wish you were. Because he's out of shape, he can't play football and not be in shape, he said, grease running down his chin. Barker said he would never intentionally hurt his stepson, oh well, maybe a few times. But that's only because the boy keeps talking about how he wants to go live with his father, who's his real dad, not the fat pig that you are. Neighbors said he fired a gun in the yard before, and they've complained to him. One of the neighbors called 911 Saturday, which led to Barker's arrest. The teenager's mother told WFTV she did not know that Barker was going to have him do sprints in the front yard or anything about the BB gun. The judge told Barker he can't return to his house while his stepson is there. He claims he's not even allowed to ask his wife how the teenager is. He's charged with child abuse and aggravated assault with a weapon. You know what, pal? Guys like you, just whatever it is you're trying to work out in your life. So there you have it. But like I was saying, you know, being a step-parent.
Yeah, well, I mean, so... He doesn't mean he can't go home.
The judge said he can't.
Yeah, you can't go home if you endanger a kid.
What? With a BB gun? Trying to get the kid. Maybe the kid's fatter than his dad. You're talking about pork chop.
I don't know whether the kid's fatter than his dad, but he's a kid. The dad's the dad. And the dad ought to know better, okay?
What about the pork chop?
What about the pork chop?
If the dad's gnawing on one, how do you know a kid wasn't gnawing on one? Got out the BB gun to make the kid motivated and not gnaw.
To make the kid motivated. So this is what you do, man. You now introduce elements into the story, which we don't even know if they were there.
That's what you're doing.
Okay, so I said he was gnawing on a pork chop. It doesn't change the basic element of the story.
No, mine doesn't.
Yes, it does. You're saying a kid was gnawing on a pork chop, so the dad took the gun out. Why?
Didn't shoot it out of his mouth.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you're changing everything, man.
I'm not changing anything. There's nothing different about it.
Oh, are you high? If the kid's running sprints and the guy's got the gun out, now to make your story work, I got to know that the kid has got a pork chop hanging out of his mouth and the father's trying to shoot the pork chop out of his mouth. What is this, William Tell?
Who's he?
In any event, our producer is Jason Rantz.
Who's he?
Our technical director, Charles Wagon.
And who's he?
And our associate producer, Dan Northcraft.
And who's he?
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video as soon as Time Warner has it back up again every day.
Phil Hendry.
Who's he?